Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, September 6th. On a unanimous six-member vote, the Environmental Improvement Board has approved plans for PNM to shut down two of its four coal-fired units at the San Juan Generating Station. The State of New Mexico, PNM, and the Environmental Protection Agency have been working out differences in approaches to addressing air quality concerns in the Four Corners area. The EIB-approved agreement also includes installation by PNM of new emission control technology on the two other units that will remain in operation. The agreement now goes to the EPA and the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission for their approvals. Clerks from all 33 counties in New Mexico have formally requested the state Supreme Court to rule on the issuance of marriage licenses to same-sex couples. In recent days, some lower court judges have ordered clerks to begin doing so, citing equal protection provisions of the state constitution. Eight counties have issued 915 such licenses in the past 2 weeks, with a number of lawsuits now filed by marriage equality opponents. The clerk's petition for a writ of superintending control is seen as likely to hasten action on the matter from the High Court. A $93 million remodel of the I-25 interchange at Albuquerque's Paseo del Norte has broken ground. The New Mexico Department of Transportation will begin Phase 1 construction efforts in mid-October. Three more phases will follow, with the entire project expected to be completed by September of next year. $50 million of the project's cost were approved by Duke City voters last year, with another $30 million being covered by the state. The remainder is supplied by Bernalillo County and the federal government. The heavily congested interchange has been the scene of numerous accidents and is used by some 56 million commuters annually. The New Mexico Department of Health says today that an 84-year-old woman from San Juan County has died from West Nile virus infection. This is the second New Mexico death this year due to the mosquito-borne virus. The woman had encephalitis, the more severe clinical form of the disease. Cases have also been confirmed in a 57-year-old man from Chavez County who was hospitalized with severe neurologic disease and a woman from Dabaca County who experienced minor illness. The Department of Health says cases usually peak in September and cautions folks to use insect repellent when outdoors where mosquitoes are present. The search for a wildland firefighter gone missing in the Jemez is 1 week old today, and still no sign of 41-year-old Token Adams. He was last seen August 30th as the crew he was part of arrived at the scene of a suspected fire, and they then dispersed to investigate. At times, more than 250 personnel have been actively seeking Adams over some 48 square miles of terrain. Various all-terrain vehicles, along with search dogs and foot patrols, are being used in the search and rescue effort. A successful second test of Virgin Galactic's passenger-carrying reusable space vehicle puts New Mexico's Spaceport America yet another step closer to offering space tourism flights in 2014. The test was conducted Thursday out of the Mojave Air and Spaceport in California. In addition to achieving the highest altitude and greatest speed to date, the flight also saw a flawless deployment of the craft's unique wing feathering reentry mechanism. Virgin Galactic founder Sir Richard Branson says the company is well on track to start its commercial services next year. The Santa Fe County Community Services Department has announced a $95,000 award to the La Familia Medical Center to provide treatment to opiate-addicted individuals. The monies will assist some 70 Santa Fe County residents, 30 of whom are pregnant. The funds come atop a $25,000 allocation made earlier this year to La Familia for assistance to expectant mothers coping with addiction. The county notes that the services are much needed, as in 2011, New Mexico's age-adjusted drug overdose death rate was 26 per 100,000 persons. That's nearly twice the national rate. Noon on Monday, September 9th, is the deadline for letters of interest and resumes to be submitted to Santa Fe County from those individuals interested in representing State Representative District 50, the post left vacant when Representative Stephen Easley passed away last month. Current office holders are not eligible, and all applicants must be 21 and live within the district, which also includes portions of Bernalillo, Torrance, and Valencia counties. Those counties, too, will be soliciting their own field of possible nominees. The final list of suggestions will go to Governor Martinez, who will make a final decision on a replacement for the remainder of Easley's term. And weather for Santa Fe: sunny and dry today with a high of 85. Both Saturday and Sunday will be mostly sunny, with just a 10% chance for late-day showers. Highs once again in the mid-80s. Overnight lows throughout the period will be in the mid to upper 50s. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature, now 79 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At Noon will continue in just a moment.
Santa Fe psychologist Dr. Penelope Penland is pleased to help present KSFR programming. Dr. Penland's diverse practice fosters the emergence of each person's authentic self in all domains of life. Like KSFR, she strives for thoughtful and independent inquiry to foster individual freedom and responsibility in the context of community. Dr. Penelope Penland, 983-3990.
Thirteen minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. New Mexico has a very active agriculture economy, one that has been struggling mightily through the prolonged drought. Fortunately, there is a service offered to New Mexicans that can aid in the growing of crops and other ranch work. It's called the Natural Resource Conservation Service, or NRCS. We're joined now by Sharon Elias, who is soil conservationist with the NRCS. Sharon, tell us about this program.
Our agency was founded during the Dust Bowl, and our main mission is to conserve natural resources, mainly soil and water.
Is your service available to anyone in New Mexico?
It is. We can give you financial and technical service depending on eligibility on the financial end. But yes, anyone can come into any field office within New Mexico and the United States and receive service. It is free. This is part of your tax dollars working for you, and we help any farmer, rancher, landowner that needs assistance, especially with soil erosion and water conservation issues.
One of the northern New Mexico farms you've assisted is the El Rincon farm in Chimayo that's owned by the Trujillo family. What did you do for them?
Mr. Trujillo, Adon is his son, and he runs the farm, but his father came to us and was interested in upgrading their water delivery system. They were in surface irrigation, or a lot of people call it flood irrigation, and we talked to them about drip irrigation because they were going to do a lot of vegetables and for local farmers markets. And so then they had a water storage, also a pond, and we helped them seal it so it wouldn't leak, and then got the water from the pond over to drip lines on the actual land. They also were interested in a seasonal high tunnel, which is a type of greenhouse that does not have a heating element that's driven by sun, and so that they can extend their growing season either in spring and or fall.
And what exactly is drip irrigation?
Well, drip irrigation is either there are emitters that are on lines that are on the ground, or there's also tape now that has slots in it, holes. And basically the water is pushed into these tubes and then emits out at a very slow rate, but it's directly to the plant. So it's probably the highest irrigation efficiency that you can achieve. It does use less water because you're actually getting the water directly to your plants at a higher efficiency, because when you're in flood irrigation, it obviously flows across the entire surface. This just takes it directly to the row of crops that you're planting.
And we suppose one of the things worth noting about your service is that all New Mexicans benefit from it, as they have from your work with the Trujillos.
They have a distribution point in Española, and I believe they're also working with some schools there to distribute food for their lunches and things like that. So, yes, absolutely. They're connected to local markets and local people.
How can people contact the NRCS?
We do have a website at New Mexico NRCS. If you Google that, you'll get a web page. And then there's a directory. There's an office practically in every county within New Mexico. Los Alamos is the exception. Our office does assist Los Alamos. But there are people ready to help. Just get that phone number and call them, make an appointment, and we will come to them, and or they can come by our office. Also, our address is there with the phone number. It's 471-0410, extension 3. And call that number. We also have an answering machine. Leave your name and number, and we will get back to you and set up an appointment to talk to you and maybe come to your farm or ranch and talk to you about how we can help you. If we're here. Please give us a call.
Anything you'd like to add?
We can't begin to give you alternatives and opportunities on your farm and talk about those until we actually are on the land and hearing what your objectives are as a farmer or rancher, and then talk to you about the alternatives that we can help you with. But we have to see the land. Always give us a call. We're ready to go out and visit with you and find out how we can help you.
Sharon Elias with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. And we will continue with more features in just a moment.
Support for KSFR comes from Upaya Zen Center, a Zen Buddhist practice training and service center for engaged Buddhism. Upaya welcomes the community for daily meditation, Dharma talks, retreats, and outstanding programs. September 20th to 22nd, Ado Francis Carney presents Wisdom Teachings of Ryokan. October 4th to 6th, Roshi Norman Fisher leads Beyond Thinking, Dogon Teachings on Zazen. To learn more, visit upaya.org. That's upaya.org.
12:18 here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. Flu season is coming upon us, and it's time once again to prepare for it. We have with us now Dr. Joan Baumbach, an epidemiologist with the Department of Health. Doctor, last year's fall season, and flu season rather, it was a tough one for New Mexicans, was it not?
Well, it was an interesting flu season for New Mexico and for the country because it started about 4 weeks earlier than we anticipated. And so it lasted a little bit longer, and we had a number of influenza deaths, of course, which is always the worst outcome that we want to try and avoid. We had, of our over 200 pneumonia and influenza-related deaths, we confirmed 20 of those as having been caused by flu. And while generally over 90% of influenza-related deaths are among the elderly, those 65 and older, children are vulnerable too. So of our 20 confirmed influenza deaths, 3 of them were in children. Kids are definitely vulnerable too, especially under a couple years of age, but even under 5 years of age. And then one of our 3 deaths was in a 15-year-old. Sometimes the kids have underlying medical conditions, but sometimes they're perfectly healthy kids with no known underlying conditions. And so we like to protect the entire community, to protect the vulnerable children and also the elderly people who are particularly vulnerable.
One of the best ways to protect yourself from the flu is the vaccine, correct?
Absolutely. Flu vaccine is still the best protection. There are other everyday preventive steps that we can take as well. And then sort of the third arm is that for certain people, they get the flu, they should have antiviral drugs. But definitely flu vaccine is the best protection that we have for ourselves and our loved ones. It's a great time to get the vaccine for a few reasons. Vaccine is here in New Mexico. We don't know when the flu season will start. It can start as early as October. As I mentioned last season, it was early. So it's a great time to get it now, and it's here.
And there are some options for influenza vaccination. Tell us about them.
Well, there are actually different kinds of shots, and then there's a nasal spray. So the 3 different kinds of flu shots, actually 4 available this year. There's a regular flu shot, and that's for people who are 6 months of age or older. And then there's a high-dose flu shot that is approved for people 65 and older. Then there is one that instead of going in the muscle in your arm that you're kind of used to, it's just under the skin, and that's approved for people 18 to 64 years of age. And then this year there's a few doses of another shot which has 4 different kinds of viruses in it instead of the 3 that we are used to seeing. And then there's the nasal spray, and that's a vaccine for people who are 2 years through 49 years of age, as long as they're not pregnant.
And in recent years, we've sometimes seen a short supply of the vaccine. How does it look for this year?
Everything that we know so far indicates that there'll be plenty of doses. We know how many the country is planning to make in total, and there's already supply, as I say, rolling into New Mexico, so we don't anticipate any shortage right now.
Traditionally, the vaccine is formulated on the influenza virus, which is observed in South America during our summer months. Is that still true?
Basically, yes. I mean, scientists and others globally work together to anticipate what's going to be circulating here in the northern hemisphere during the flu season. And what they put into the vaccine are two different types of A flu viruses and one type of B flu virus. And then this other shot I was telling you about that there's just starting to develop has a second B type of virus. So it is based on what's anticipated to be circulating. And done a very good job in the last many seasons of the last 22 or so seasons. 18 of them have had been well matched what's in the vaccine to what's circulating here in the United States. There was one season where there was a very low match and three other seasons where it was a low match. But even in those years, which haven't taken place for a number of flu seasons, there is some protection still. So flu vaccine, even when not perfect, and it's never 100% perfect, is really very good and certainly better than no vaccine.
How well did last year's vaccine perform?
When we look at our data for hospitalization, we do pretty good surveillance for people who get hospitalized, and we look at rates, and we combine those with some national data. And there is a combination of plenty of people who didn't get vaccinated and some people who did get vaccinated. The thing about vaccine is that it protects at different levels, and it protects different age groups with different underlying conditions differently. So sometimes it will protect against even having to go and see the doctor if you do get it, or getting disease at all. And then it'll protect against being hospitalized, and then it'll protect against severe outcomes, including death. And all those things are sort of looked at. And so what's interesting about the what's called efficacy or effectiveness of vaccines is that it can protect all along the way. And what we really want to protect against is people getting seriously ill, severe complications, and death. And vaccine definitely makes a difference.
And you've mentioned ways besides the vaccine to lessen the odds of getting the flu. What are some of those?
Well, in addition to getting vaccinated, what people can do is take everyday sort of preventive actions to stop germ spreading in general. So if people are sick and you think they might have a flu-like illness, you should try and avoid close contact with them. And then if you're sick with flu-like illness, we recommend that you stay home for at least 24 hours after your fever is gone, except, of course, to get medical care for other really important necessities. And the fever should be gone without using a fever-reducing medicine, so gone on its own. And then if you are sick, you want to limit your contact with others so that they don't get your illness in case it is the flu. The other thing people can do is cover their nose and their mouth, either with a tissue or sneeze or cough into their clothing if they don't have a tissue, and throw that tissue in the trash after they use it, because that's really the way flu is spread, is when people are sneezing or coughing and the germs get into an airspace of someone who's right near to them. And then the really important thing that people can do all the time that helps with the flu and a lot of other illnesses is to wash their hands often with soap and water.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, take time to get a flu vaccine. We really recommend this as the first and most important step to protect against these flu viruses. And everyone 6 months of age and older should get one. However, really remember the people at highest risk of complications as the ones to really prioritize to get those flu vaccines. So your young children, pregnant women are very susceptible, and their new babies, to complications. People with chronic health conditions like asthma, diabetes, heart or lung disease, and older people over 50, but particularly people over 65 and older, are really at risk of complications and even death. And then people who are caring for those who have high risk, healthcare personnel, others who care for people in their homes and elsewhere who are at serious risk of flu, should also be vaccinated to protect those that they're caring for.
Dr. Joan Baumbach from the New Mexico Department of Health, Many thanks for joining us today at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
St. Elizabeth Shelter is the only year-round, full-service homeless shelter in Santa Fe and all of northern New Mexico. Opened in 1986, St. Elizabeth Shelter now assists more than 2,000 men, women, and children every year while providing them with more than 40,000 bed nights of shelter and 50,000 meals. Moving people from homelessness into housing is St. Elizabeth Shelter's mission. For more information about St. Elizabeth Shelter, call 982-6611 or visit steshelter.org.
And currently 80 degrees in downtown Santa Fe at 12:26. Temperature is on its way to a high today of 85. Fiesta weekend is a time when many Santa Feans are celebrating. For some folks, celebrations can be deadly. Santa Fe County offers a way to cut down on this problem. Here is KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard filing his report.
It's Fiesta weekend and a dangerous time on Santa Fe roads. DWI is a major problem. Thanks to a program offered by the county, there is a safe and inexpensive way for anyone who's been drinking to get home safely. Peter Olson is a DWI prevention specialist with the county.
The first thing I want to get across is that at 0.08, we incarcerate. That means if your blood alcohol content is 0.08, you're going to go to jail if you get caught driving. So that's a very important message that everybody should know. So what do you do instead of driving drunk? You call 438-0000 and get a dollar cab ride home. And the cab ride we subsidize through the Santa Fe County DWI program. We subsidize up to $25 of a cab ride. If you take it home from a bar or party where alcohol is being served, call the number, you pay a dollar, and you get home safe. You don't drive drunk. We've been doing this for quite a while, and recently, in the last few months, we've changed it from a $5 ride anywhere to a dollar ride home, because that's the most important ride, is the ride home from the bar. So we've made it a dollar, made it accessible, and last year we gave about 13,000 people a ride home from the bar.
The discounted cab rides are but one of the interventions being undertaken by the city and county this year. It's been particularly effective in the past.
We do it year-round, every weekend, and then some other holidays that come on in the middle of the week, like, you know, New Year's Eve or something like that. It's really hard to tell if the cab ride has a direct impact. We believe that there is a very good benefit that comes from a cab ride home. We're taking 13,000 people off the street that might otherwise drive. We do notice so far that the deaths in Santa Fe County due to alcohol-involved crashes is lower than it has been in a long time, 10 years or so. We hope it stays that way. And we were doing so many things. Law enforcement is doing more checkpoints. Santa Fe City Police are arresting more drunk drivers. There's so many things that we're doing. It's really hard to tell if any one thing has an impact directly. We think all of it makes a big difference in the fact that people are thinking about being safe themselves and not driving drunk is the biggest issue.
This year, the county has begun a new campaign.
We just launched our new campaign at 0.08, We Incarcerate. It's got a very strong message. It says, don't drink and drive. There's a picture of handcuffs, a man in handcuffs, handcuffed with a jail cell in the background. And you'll be seeing these on the sides of buses starting today. We also have coasters that we distribute to all the bars, and all of our partners in the bars and restaurants in town are very supportive of this and use our coasters under the bars on Friday and Saturday. Got the message about the cab ride and the number so people can call it up when they're sitting there at the bar and get their ride home. We just want people to enjoy Fiesta, and the best way to enjoy the Fiesta is to drink responsibly and not drink and drive.
Our local cab company actually supplies the discounted rides.
The Santa Fe County DWI program contracts with the Capital City Cab, and you call them up and tell them you want a dollar cab ride home on Friday or Saturday night from 5:30 to 2:30 a.m., and they'll pick you up and take you home for a buck.
Peter Olson with Santa Fe County.
Don't drink and drive. At 0.08, we incarcerate.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Lannan Foundation, presenting a public lecture by climate justice activist Tim DeChristopher on Wednesday, September 25th, 7 p.m. at the Lenzick Performing Arts Center, followed by a conversation with author Terry Tempest Williams. Tickets available now at TicketsSantaFe.com or 988-1234. For more information, visit Lannan.org.
12:31 here in the KSFR newsroom. Here at the bottom of the hour is the ever-appropriate time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
It was Saturday night, and three friends of mine had come up from Albuquerque. They were coming up to go to the Jean Cocteau Theater and see the sci-fi movie Europa Report. They invited me to go with them, but they were seeing the 8:45 p.m. show. Normally at that time, I'm halfway to Sleepyhead. But I decided to go. I wanted to go to the Jean Cocteau. After watching the movie, we were looking for a place to have drinks. After Cowgirls looked a little too crowded, we decided to go to Second Street Brewery. On the way, we ran into Mr. and Mrs. George Martin outside the Jean Cocteau. George was instrumental in reopening the theater, plus his four-volume book series, Song of Ice and Fire, was the inspiration for the TV series The Game of Thrones. And that's how the evening was, like Game of Thrones, only without the intrigue, sex, and violence. Well, I guess it really wasn't like Game of Thrones. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And back now in the KSFR newsroom with just time enough to conclude today's edition of At Noon. Meanwhile, tomorrow we invite you to tune in for At Noon Weekend Edition, wherein we'll revisit some of the feature stories that we covered for you this week. In the meantime, this is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. Many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. And we'll be back fresh for you on Monday with more news of and for New Mexico. And as always, we hope you join us.